Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and the show is Word for Word, and this is the show for Friday, August the 26th, and we're going to be going into Leviticus chapters 20 and 21. Good stuff. So get your pad and pencil ready to take notes if you wish, and let's get started on this. All right. Starts out with Yahweh speaking to Moshe, and he's speaking through the whole chapter. All of chapter 20 is Yahweh speaking to Moshe. Verse 1, and spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, again you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or of the sojourners that sojourn in Israel, that gives any of his seed line to Molech, 4432, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Verse 3. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given of his seed line to Molech to defile my sanctuary, 4720, and to profane my holy name. Because Yahweh was dwelling in that sanctuary. He was present there. And that was a huge, huge offense against him to sacrifice a child to this pagan god. Then, if the people of the land in any way hide, 5956, their eyes from the man, when he gives of his seed line to Molech, and do not kill him, in other words, they just look the other way, like a lot of people do over a lot of the abominations that are going on today. They just, oh, well. Verse 5, then I will set my face against that man and against his clan, 4940, the ones that are hiding their eyes and looking the other way is who he's speaking of, and will cut him off, and all that go a-whoring, 2181, after him, to commit fornication with Molech from among their people. Anybody that follows this fool and starts sacrificing their kids to Molech, which is a horrible religion. It was just, oh, it's horrible. Verse 6, and the person that turns to familiar spirits and after soothsayers to go a-whoring after them, I will set my face against that person, and I will cut him off from among the people. Now, we're talking about conjured spirits, fortune tellers, any of that nonsense that they were doing. And we have it all over today. Mama so-and-so's palm reading and all this, you know, the supposed gypsy fortune tellers and all of that. Half of them aren't gypsies. They're just scam artists. Verse 7, consecrate 6942 yourselves, therefore, and be holy. 6918. Okay. For I am Yahweh Elohim. Again, announcing full well who he is. I am Yahweh, your divine being. Verse 8, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. Not, I would like that you would keep my statutes. You shall keep my statutes and do them. I am Yahweh, which sanctifies you. In other words, we're not sanctified because of ourselves. We can't do enough good deeds to make us holy. It is Yahweh himself that makes us holy. That applied then, and it applies now. We're not holy on our own. We're holy because of Yahweh. And Yahweh is punishing us right now. So, a lot of this is a repeat. Verse 9, because every man that curses, 7043, his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood guilt shall be upon him. And that's 1818, that's Dom. His blood shall be upon him. Well, it's blood guilt. And in the Hebrew idiom, that means blood guilt when they use blood in that, the word blood in that manner. Blood is due for that, for punishment for that crime. That's blood guilt. Verse 10. And the man that commits adultery, 5003, with another man's, 376, that's gender specific, wife. He that commits adultery with his neighbor's, 7453, wife. Neighbors has the connotation of racial kinsmen. The adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Both of them. Boy, that would stop a lot of fooling around, wouldn't it? Verse 11, and the man that lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood guilt shall be upon them. That would stop incest, wouldn't it? Verse 12, and if a man lies with his daughter-in-law, 3618, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have done incest, 8397. Their blood guilt shall be upon them. Oh boy. Here's one that's gonna get all the liberals stirred up. This is Yahweh speaking, remember. This is not a man. This is direct word of Yahweh. Verse 13. And if a man lies with a male, 2145, as an act of lying, 4904, that's sexual, both of them have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guilt shall be upon them. So much for gay rights. Okay? You do not have the right to be a pervert. You do not have the right to commit sodomy. You do not have the right to go and molest young boys because of your perversion. According to Yahweh's law, the just law, that's a death penalty for that. Deal with it. Verse 14, and if a man takes a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, so that there is no wickedness among you. Oh! He's not fooling around here, brothers and sisters. Verse 15, and if a man makes, 5414, copulation, 7903, with a beast, 929, two-legged or four-legged, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. Two-legged or four-legged. Beast of the earth, beast of the field, non-Adamics. It is death penalty for race mixing. Deal with it. Verse 16. And if a woman approaches any beast and lies down with it, what kind of beast do you lie down with? A two-legged beast, of course. You shall kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guilt shall be upon them. All you white little hotties walking around with your dark stud out there, according to Yahweh's law, you're to be put to death. Deal with it. Verse 17. And if a man takes his sister, his father's daughter or his mother's daughter, and sees, 7200, her nakedness, and she sees his nakedness, it is a shame, 2617, and they shall be cut off in the eyes of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. In other words, they are kicked out of the family. Get out, go, but I don't have any way to make a living, and I don't have any clothes or food. Get out. Tough. You're cut off. Go. Don't care what happens to you. You're not part of us anymore. Go. Deal with it. Verse 18. And if a man lies with a minstress, 1739, woman, and uncovers her nakedness, he has uncovered, 6168, her fountain, 4726, and she has uncovered the fountain of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Oh! Boy, this is the straight-up moral law of Yahweh. He's not pulling any punches. He's laying it right on the line here. This isn't Moshe speaking. This is Yahweh talking. Verse 19. And you shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, nor of your father's sister. For he uncovers his blood relation. They shall bear their iniquity. Messing around with your aunt. That's not good. And if a man lies down with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin, 2399. They shall die childless, 6185. verse 21. And if a man takes his brother's wife, it is impurity. 5079. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. Now, the only exception to that is if the brother dies, the nearest of kin, the nearest male of kin to that brother, needs to take that wife and make sure that she has children, and the children will carry that dead brother's name to keep alive his seed line in Israel. That's the Levirate law. That's what happened with Tamar and Yehuda. She had to pose as a harlot to get him to get her pregnant. She had to trick him. And when he found out she was pregnant, they said she was horn round. Well, she had his signet in his staff. And he said, bring her here and burn her. That was the penalty for that. But she comes and she says, whose are these? Oh, they're mine. You're more righteous than I am. You're free to go. Because she made him carry out that levirate law by deception, but she did it. And Zerach and Peretz carried on the pure blood line of Yehuda, because Yehuda had Canaanite wives, and the only one that was left out of all of those was Shelah, and he faded away. And pure blood Yehuda was carried on by Zerach and Peretz, because Tamar was a pure-blooded Israelite woman, not some Canaanite. And Yahweh engineered that because of that seed line of Zerach and Peretz. The line of Judah went all the way on down out of the Peretz side of Yehuda came Yeshua Messiah, because he carried the royal seed line all the way from Yehuda, who had the scepter. Yahweh doesn't fool around. He's got it covered. He really has it planned out. He's got a grand plan. And no little human is going to mess it up. You can try, but see how well you do. You won't fare too well. He kept that line of Israel going through those two sons. Praise Yahweh. Verse 22, you shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, so that the land where I bring you to dwell in will not vomit you out. Because it was gonna kick out all the Canaanites, all that trash that was in that land. They were going to have to go. So that's what was going to happen to them. Well, if we didn't do what Yahweh said, it was going to kick us out too. And eventually it did. We didn't obey. And we're not in obedience now. A lot of us are. More and more every day are coming to the worship of Yahweh. I'd like to think I have something to do with that. Teaching this word, Yahweh will send this word out and let those who need to hear it, hear it. He has chosen me as a servant, and I am humbly privileged just to read his holy word on the air like this. This is marvelous to me that I get to read this, which I love so dearly. His word is overwhelming. It is the straight truth with no tampering, and I am so grateful that I get to do this. Verse 23, and you shall not walk in the practices of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I have loathed them. 6973. He really hated the Canaanites because they were doing all kinds of abominable things and worshiping fallen angels and rocks and trees and fertility and have big fornication orgies for fertility and oh. Coffee. He didn't want Israel to go the way of the Canaanites. Unfortunately, in many instances we did, and we still do today. Not all of us. There's a lot of faithful out there that are listening, because they enjoy the word too. And pardon me if I laugh sometimes, because some of this stuff is just so good. It's humorous in a lot of ways, a lot of the word, the ridiculousness of the situation, and the analogies between then and now are humorous. We think we have progressed and we have not. So pardon the pauses, but I have to mute the mic. I miss once in a while when I have to cough, but I try to kill the mic when I have to do that. I have lung problems, and that's just how it is. Verse 24, and have said to you, you shall inherit, 3423. Now that word means to inherit. It means to possess. It also means the opposite, to dispossess. So they will dispossess the Canaanites and then possess the land. Same word for both. You shall inherit the land, and I will give it to you to possess. 3423 again. A land that flows with milk, 2461, and honey, 1706. Caleb and Debash. I am Yahweh Elohim, who has set you apart, 914, from other people. Verse 25. You will therefore put separation, 914 again, between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean birds and clean, or by any type of living thing that creeps upon the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. Okay, these certain beasts were unclean, as far as ceremonially unclean for sacrifice. He's not saying that horses and camels and asses and, you know, donkeys and work animals were abominable. He just said they're not to be sacrificed. They don't meet the criteria for clean sacrificial animals to be used in the ceremonies of Israel. Verse 26, and you shall be holy unto me, for I, Yahweh, am holy, and have set you apart from other people, that you should be mine. No other people are his people but us. As bad as we have screwed up, were still his. If we were not still his, he would have destroyed us and would not have sent the Redeemer to cover over our sins for all time. He loved us that much. That's pretty awesome, folks, that he is that long-suffering, as bad as we foul up all the time, and as far down as we have sunk into degradation in modern society, which is worse than it's ever been. You can look around you in the world and see it on the Talmud vision, the YouTube. The filth that's going on in the world today. We're his. We're supposed to be set apart. And we have to individually, as Israelites, one-on-one, choose to follow his rules. There are many Israelites that are not going to make it. They won't enter the kingdom. They have chosen to stay in rebellion. Those of us that have chosen Yahweh will make it. We are his, and he will protect us in the evil times to come. And if we perish, we will be resurrected unto eternal life, because the blood of Yeshua has covered over our sins, and he will stand as an intercessor between us and the judgment of Yahweh. Yahweh will see his righteousness that will be imputed to us, and that's how it works. Many don't choose that path, and I don't understand it. Why anyone offered redemption would turn it down. If they believe at all that there's a lake of fire and there's going to be judgment and punishment, why would they refuse it? I don't get that. Oh, boy. It's a mystery to me. It's overwhelming. Verse 27, the last verse of chapter 20. A man or a woman that is a necromancer, that's one who communes with the dead, supposedly, or has a familiar spirit, that's a conjured spirit, one of the fallen ones, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood guilt shall be upon them. All right. Chapter 20 notes. I'm going to read these and give you all these references. There's a bunch of them. And this chapter has a repetition of some laws with the additional information of the penalties for the infraction. This gives you the penalties for doing a lot of these things. There were a number of capital offenses. And if we followed these rules today, our society would be much different. Less divorces, for sure. No gay rights. No AIDS. Indeed, we would be much better off as a people. When they use the term, their blood guilt shall be upon them, it means they're responsible for their own death because of their behavior. If you do this, we're going to stone you. Real clear. Don't do that, you won't get stoned. Got references. Verse 9, reference Exodus 21:17. Matthew 15, verse 4, Mark chapter 7, verse 10. And for verse 10 of chapter 20, reference Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 20, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 18. For verse 11, reference Genesis chapter 9, verses 20, 22, and 23. And Leviticus chapter 18, verses 7 and 8. And the book of Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 30, and 27, verse 20. And Ezekiel 22, verse 10. For verse 12, you reference Leviticus 18, verse 15. For verse 14, reference Leviticus chapter 18, verse 17. And Deuteronomy 27, verse 23. Verses 15 and 16 of chapter 20. Reference Exodus 22:19, Leviticus 18:23, Deuteronomy 27, verse 21. And verse 17 of chapter 20, reference Leviticus chapter 18, verse 9, Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 22. For verse 18 of chapter 20, reference Leviticus chapter 18, verse 19. And for verse 21 of chapter 20, reference Leviticus 18, 16. Okay, I'm going to get another hit of coffee here while it's still hot. Or should I say warm? I get involved in the scripture and I forget my poor coffee here. Well. Let's get into chapter 21 of Leviticus. And this is another chapter where Yahweh is speaking, all except two or three verses where it says, "And spoke Yahweh to Moshe." It's just a break in the words. So it starts out like that, verse 1. "And spoke Yahweh to Moshe, speak to the priests, the sons of Aharon, and say to them, there shall none be defiled for a dead body among his people, unless it is for his kin that is near to him, for his mother, and for his father, and for his son, and for his daughter, and for his brother, and for his sister, a virgin that is near to him, which has no husband, for her may he be defiled." 29:30, that means made ceremonially unclean. He's going to have to go through a purification ritual if he goes to their funeral. Verse 4, "But he shall not defile himself, being a Lord," and this will perk your ears up, 1167, Baal, being a Baal, among his people, Lord Baal. Baal, Lord. Uh-huh. Praise the Lord! Oh, yeah? What Lord? You say, praise Yahweh. That's one thing. But praise the Lord? Leaves it wide open there, doesn't it? Being a Lord among his people, to profane himself. 2490. Verse 5. They shall not make baldness. Make 7139, baldness 7144 upon their head. Neither shall they shave off, 1548, the sides of their beard, nor make any incisions on their body. All of these were pagan practices. If you're going to wear a beard, and you're supposed to when you're an Israelite man, you wear a full beard. You don't wear a goatee. You don't shave off the side of your beard. You don't shave off part of your head into a mohawk. And you don't make incisions in your body. That's pagan. You wear a full hair of, head of hair. Now you can cut it short, but you don't shave off the sides of it to do a weird hair thing. Dye it purple or green or whatever. And you don't do the Babylonian beard thing. Your beard goes from your temples down to your chin and your mustache. All of it's part of your beard. You can have a short beard, but you're supposed to have a beard if you're an Israelite man. I know this isn't popular. Oh, it's inconvenient. I don't care. Yahweh says you're supposed to have a beard. Take it up with him. I wear a full beard because I try to obey. I can't make you. Read the scriptures. Talk to Yahweh about it. If you want to obey the scriptures, obey the scriptures. If you're not going to obey, that's on you, dude. That's all I can say, you know. They shall be holy unto Elohim, 430. That's their divine being, and not profane the name of Elohim by their actions. For the offerings made by fire of Yahweh and the bread of Elohim they do offer. Therefore they shall be holy. They really need to watch their P's and Q's. They have to cross every T and dot every I. Special class of Levite. Verse 7. They shall not take a wife that is a harlot. 2181. Same word that they use to go whoring after these idols. Same word. Or profane. 2491. In other words, some sleazy woman. Don't take a wife that's a sleaze. If she's in anybody's at the bar, you don't marry a woman like that. Now, this is for the priest class, okay? But that's common sense for anybody. Neither shall they take a woman cast aside by her husband. Cast aside is 1644. They don't marry a divorced woman. Because he is holy unto Elohim. The priest doesn't marry a divorcee because he's holy. He's supposed to marry a virginal woman. Verse 8, you shall sanctify him, therefore, because he offers the bread of Elohecha, in other words, your divine being. He shall be holy to you, because I, Yahweh, which sanctify you, am holy. You're supposed to treat the priest with respect. Verse 9, and the daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by playing the harlot, she profanes her father. And if you profane her father, who is holy, here's what happens. She shall be burnt with fire. 8:3:1:3, burnt, destroyed, tied to a stake and set a fire around her. She is to be burnt, like Yehuda was going to do to Tamar, except she came in with his staff and his signet, and he says, set him back on his heels. He says, well, you're more righteous than I am. Go on. That was a special circumstance, but that was going to be that penalty. He was going to burn her. Because he was the king of Yehuda. And she would have been defiling his office and the tribe of Yehuda, and they were going to burn her. Verse 10, and the great priest among his brothers, that's great is 14:19, that would be translate to English to high priest, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garment, shall not uncover his head nor rend his clothing. The high priest had different rules. That's Aharon, or whoever replaced him when he died. Neither shall he go into any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or for his mothers. The lesser priests could do that. They could go to parents' and brothers' and sisters' funeral, but not the high priest. Verse 12, neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, no profane the sanctuary of Elohev, that means his divine being, because the crown, 51:45, of the anointing oil of Elohev is upon him. I am Yahweh. That's who's speaking. That's a direct commandment to the high priest. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no arguments. That's it. Yahweh has spoken. Chapter 21, verse 13. And he shall take a wife in her virginity. 13:31. Verse 14. A widow or a woman cast out or profane or a harlot, these he shall not take, but he shall take a virgin, 13:30, of his own people to wife. Verse 15. Neither shall he profane his children among his people, for I, Yahweh, do sanctify him. So there were very stringent rules for the high priest, more so than for the what you would call the common priest, the lesser in stature. Because only the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. The lesser priest were not. He was set apart for that. And he was the one that made propitiation for all of Israel once a year. Verse 16, and spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, and here's Yahweh speaking again. Verse 17, speak to Aharon, saying, whoever of your seed line in their posterity that has any blemish, 3971, do not let him approach to offer the bread of Elohev, of his divine being. Verse 18, for whatever man that has a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man, 5787, or a lame man, 6455, or he that is disfigured, 2763, or has anything deformed, 8311. Verse 19, or a man that is broken-footed or broken-handed. Verse 20, or hunched-backed, 1384. Or, and the word is unknown to us today. We don't know what it means. So it is DAQ, D-A-Q, number 1851. That the meaning of that word has been lost, and they have substituted this something. So I don't read their substitutions. They're in error, and they do not belong in there. But tell the Hebrew word and leave it go, and explain it. We don't know it. Or that has an obscurity, 8400, in his eye. That's defective vision of some type. Or has a skin disease, or is scabbed, or has his testicles, 810, crushed, 4790. How that would come about, I don't know. I don't want to go there, but that's what it says. Verse 21. No man that has a blemish of the seed line of Aharon the priest shall come near to offer the offerings made by fire of Yahweh. He has a blemish. He shall not come near to offer the bread of Elohim. Okay. There is an inclusion here. He's not to be cast out or punished or something has gone wrong with him. But he's still of the line of Aharon. Verse 22, he shall eat the bread of Elohev, of the Most Holy and of the Holy. So they're not cutting him out. He's still part of the priesthood class, but he's not allowed to bring stuff into the temple. Verse 23, only he shall not go into the veil, nor come near the altar, because he has a blemish. Nothing imperfect could go there. No animal sacrifice, it all had to be without blemish, and the priests had to be without blemish. Everything had to be perfect before Yahweh in that enclosure of the sanctuary. Because he has a blemish, so that he does not profane my sanctuary. Because I, Yahweh, do sanctify them. They, just his presence sanctified the sanctuaries. The tent of meeting and the Holy of Holies inside it. And all the articles within. The altars and the incense table and the lamps. Yahweh's mere presence made them holy. Verse 24, and Moshe told it to Aharon and to his sons and to all the children of Israel. They all had to know. So they couldn't say, well, we never knew that. Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, you knew it. Don't try to weasel out of it. You knew it. You were told. That's like today when we read the word and people hear it, they can't unhear it, and they can't claim before the throat of judgment that they weren't told. If they choose to ignore it, That is on them. And as it says in these chapters, their blood guilt shall be upon them if they voluntarily of their own will reject Yahweh's word and his laws and statutes and ordinances. That's by their own will, and they bear their iniquity for that. And if they don't obey and they don't come under the covenant of Yeshua Messiah and then be obedient, because that's what is required by that covenant. You can't just say, I'm sorry, and then go on doing what you're doing. If there's no lifestyle change, then there has been no salvation. It is fake. It is lip service only. And the word says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And that is what has occurred. If they go running up to the altar and put on this big dog and pony show in some Judeo-Christian church and then go back out into the world and live the life of the devil, they're fake, they're phony, and they're going to the lake of fire as a goat. Deal with it. And if you do come under the salvation process and then change your mind later and go back to your old ways, you have rejected that covenant. And you're out of luck. There is no once saved, always saved. That is a lie. You can walk away from your salvation. Once you come under the covenant with Yeshua Messiah, you walk the straight and narrow path from then on. And if your heart does not tell you to do that, you better examine yourself and your salvation very carefully. Because that's a no-nonsense covenant. Yeshua said to the people, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Your salvation is not secure unless you act and show fruits worthy of repentance. You can't just skim over it. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, let's fire up a hooter. Yeah. Wrong. Let's go to the bar and pick up some babes. Wrong. Straight and narrow path. A lot of people aren't going to make it that go to church every Sunday. They're just putting on a show. And that don't cut it. There's a cost to your redemption. You give up those things of the world which are unholy. You have to give them up. You have to turn your back and walk away from them. And that's why we teach and preach this. Because we don't want you to lose your salvation. We want to see you with us in the kingdom. You matter. White lives matter, okay? White souls matter. They matter to me. They matter to Yeshua. They matter to Yahweh. And if what I teach and preach seems a little harsh, it's not out of hatred. It's out of love. I want people to straighten up and walk the right path. I don't want to lose any more of our brothers and sisters. We're losing too many already. It grieves me. Let's go to the references here. Verse 5 of chapter 21, you reference Leviticus chapter 19, 27, and 28. And in verse 20, 1851, dock has several meanings. It means shrunken, withered, thin. But it doesn't mean dwarf, which is what they've got in the King James Version. It is not a dwarf. And I don't know which word would apply. Shrunken, withered, or thin. We don't know. They didn't put it in, and they haven't translated it properly. But it's not dwarf, which is what is in the King James Version. And 8400, as I said, tabalul means defective vision, an obscurity in his eye. 8400, that means his vision is obscured. He has defective vision. That's an easier translation, but I have that in the notes. All the Levitical priesthood has been done away with by Yeshua Messiah, but these are instructional passages for everyday life for Israel. A lot of these things make common sense. It gives you an idea of the mindset of the time of what was considered righteous and what was considered unrighteous. And a lot of it still applies today, although the sacrificial things and the status of the Levitical priesthood has been removed by Yeshua Messiah because of the infiltration and perversion of the Edomite priest that had no business being in the priest class, and they were teaching Talmudism as they do today. And they have infiltrated the Judeo-Christian churches, which are also teaching Talmudic teachings of Christianity. They call it Christianity, but it is not Christianity. It is Talmudism. They're the method of money today is Babylonian. The usury is Babylonian and Talmudic. The days of the week are pagan. All of this has occurred within our society. Our Israelite society here in North America and Great Britain and South Africa, the Boer people know that they are of Israel. Praise Yahweh for them. They stand up. They've been standing up for a long time. And I am proud that we have an audience in South Africa. It's marvelous. We have one of the South African Boer people on as a preacher that comes on with Eli all the time, who really lays it on the line. Very, very good preacher. Very good. So we've come down to the end of this here, for the end of this week in August, and I will be back on Monday beginning with Leviticus chapter 22, and we will probably, more than likely, we'll do 22 and 23 on Monday, 24 and 25 on Tuesday, 26 and 27 on Wednesday. And that will end the book of Leviticus. So next Thursday, we will start in on the book of Numbers. And that is an erroneous name. It's Bamidbar, but that's we'll get into that. I'll explain all of that when we begin the book. But Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we will complete Leviticus. So have a good weekend, and may Yahweh bless. Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus, go.